there are still underage videos being uploaded to the platform. What if the government was to find out? And he says they're not going to do, will do nothing because they're dumb. The account would not be suspended if an underage image came through.
Welcome back to Lustcast. On today's episode, we're talking to a journalist that went undercover with senior Pornhub executives to find out exactly what they knew about the rape and sex trafficking videos hosted on Pornhub. What she found out is shocking even to me, but before we get into it, please remember to hit the like button and subscribe to my channel so you don't miss any episodes. And if you really want to support my work, please consider taking out a premium subscription where you'll help me pay the bills and enjoy some bonus content. So the reporter that went undercover at Pornhub is Arden Young. How's it going, Arden?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on, Tommy.
Yeah, this is a really exciting one for me because I'm absolutely fascinated by what you do. I think part of me is, you know, every boy wants to be a spy, you know, and it's like you've actually gone and done it and on a really important story as well. And I guess just for people that haven't maybe seen what you've done, maybe just give us a quick, you know, 30-second summary of the Pornhub tapes.
Sure. Well, my name is Arden Young. I'm a journalist with Sound Investigations, which is a brand new investigative nonprofit. And we formed specifically to investigate misconduct, wrongdoing within the online porn industry. And I went undercover and I recorded multiple Pornhub, MindGeek, ALO, which is the parent company of Pornhub.
Yeah,
employees. Yeah, it's now ALO. And the first video that we released features Mike Farley, who was one of the first employees to be hired at Pornhub over 10 years ago now. And he describes to me a loophole in the age and consent verification process where Pornhub does not verify the identities of user-uploaded videos that don't show faces, mm-hmm. which is very common. And he admits that rapists and traffickers exploit the loophole to, quote, make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And the higher-ups know about this, but they're not doing anything about it because it hurts the bottom line. Mm. And then another undercover video that also features Farley and a different employee who named Dylan Rice. It describes issues and failures in the content moderation process, ignoring pleas of victims to have their exploitative videos taken down, and admissions that there are still underage videos being uploaded to the platform.
Wow. I mean, and I guess this is the thing, is a lot of people would think, okay, well, this is old news. You know, Pornhub have been punished. That's all in the past. They've got a new name, Netflix documentary. Everything's fine now. So are we saying that this is current?
This is current. Our entire premise for starting this investigation was having read that 2020 New York Times article, The Children of Pornhub, written by Nicholas Kristof, mm-hmm. Featuring different victims who had been intimately videotaped many times as a minor. And these videos had circulated on Pornhub, made a lot of money, were not taken down despite many, many requests over a long period of time. And yes, Pornhub publicly claimed to have changed and improved their methods, which, to be honest, I actually do believe that their changes cut out a lot of what was going on the platform, the illegal content. But it's lip service. While it hurt their business, yes, to change their ways and increase moderation, change their policies, they're still allowing these illegal videos through and they're still continuing to make money off of it. And it's still not enough was the premise of our investigation. So we sought out to find out if our hypothesis was true. And unfortunately it turned out that it was true.
Yeah. I mean, it's really surprised me. And when Pornhub were punished, my immediate, obviously I'm coming from the porn industry, my immediate sympathy was with Pornhub, because I've seen that as an organization, they've probably done the most to raise ethical standards in the porn industry for models and just in general. The tube sites used to be incredibly shocking, the kind of content you would find on there. And I guess they were the first tube site to clean up a little bit. But so when all this user-generated sex trafficking videos, rape, underage porn, it surprised us. It surprised people in the industry. And we thought, we kind of bought the line that Pornhub put out, which is, hey, we're actually better than Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, because all that type of content also goes on social networks, right? Or is that just their PR? I don't know. What's your opinion?
Yeah, that is the argument. Actually, in their statement to us, we requested comment from them and they did get back to us eventually. They actually boast that Pornhub reported less incidences to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children than other major tech platforms. And while on the surface that might seem wonderful, the real story behind the scenes is that they only began reporting to the NCMEC in 2020, which is 14 years after they were founded. And the president and CEO of the NCMEC himself testified to Canadian Parliament that zero reports were made by Pornhub in 2019. So their boast that they've reported less incidences of child exploitation, of rape, is actually what they should be ashamed of. They need to be reporting. That's the point.
Because when you report it, it gets tagged, right? And then if anybody else tries to share it on other networks, it's automatically taken down. Is that right? Or have I misunderstood that?
I believe so. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of transparency in what their content moderation process exactly was and is. We do know that there's internal emails now coming out in discovery that before 2020, you needed at least like 15 flags on a video for it to even begin to get reviewed by a content moderator. And it was like one content moderator going through hundreds of thousands of flagged videos.
I mean, that is incredible.
Yeah.
I know people that work as moderators in Budapest, where I live. A lot of social media companies, they outsource it to Indian outsourcing companies, and they do a lot of it in various cities all over the world. And you know, they employ thousands of moderators. So the idea of one person doing it, especially for a topic that does attract more problematic material, you should have thought they would have more, like per, I don't know, per million views a month, the ratio should be higher at Pornhub, you'd think.
Absolutely, it should have been. I do think there are more now, but we are still getting admissions that it's just still too much to go through for the amount of people that they have.
Well, they verified accounts now, right?
Currently, in order to be a user and upload to the site, you need to get verified. Requires getting a submitted ID approved before you begin uploading to the platform. Mm-hmm. But the loophole is that so many pornographic videos don't show faces. So these reviewers are trying to match faces on IDs to like body parts and genitals and things like that. So how do you really do that? And also there's other people in the videos that are not being verified. However, just the other day after our release, Pornhub changed their user upload policy. So now for new uploads, users must upload an ID for every single participant in a video, which is a step in the right direction, but it still doesn't...
Other companies do that. So like other porn companies do that. So it's not unusual.
Correct. Yeah, and but unfortunately it still doesn't fix the issue that faces on IDs are being matched with body parts. We don't know who that is. You don't know if that person consented to being in the video. I mean, Rice said himself, Dylan Rice, he's a script writer for MindGeek/ALO. He said the system's so slow, they don't have enough moderators, it stays up for long enough, people get mad and sue them. How do you get somebody to prove that they're above age because they can get a fake ID? Farley says, we don't have consent of that person. We're running ads as a business. We're monetizing content that we don't know where it comes from. We don't know who's in the video. We don't know the age of the person on the video. And Rice even says, he brings up 2257s, which I'm sure you're familiar with, just verifies the age and consent of the person appearing in a pornographic film. And MindGeek has a whole division of pay sites who require 2257s for the content they're producing. But Rice says that MindGeek views like the tube sites and the pay sites as competitors of each other. So they don't want to start requiring 2257s for everyone because they want to keep that competition going.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's also, I don't know how much you know about how the porn industry is structured, but the industry lobby group is the Free Speech Coalition. And they've been campaigning for many years to get it taken off the books as unconstitutional. And I believe it pretty much has been passed as unconstitutional now. I think people only keep those records because they always have been, and they're a little bit afraid of that law coming back and biting people. But it's interesting that the industry lobby group would fight that law on one hand and then kind of hide behind it.
Exactly.
And another.
Yeah, that is fascinating. It's so interesting to hear your take because you're the first person I've had a conversation with who's actually worked in the industry and had experience within the porn industry that I know of.
Yeah, I think the industry feeling has always been that people felt Pornhub may be attacked unfairly. But the more that comes out, the more justifiable it seems.
Right. And I think that as someone with no experience in the porn industry, but as an outsider looking into the porn industry and what it is, obviously Pornhub automatically is like at the forefront. They're huge. With great power comes great responsibility. And I definitely acknowledge that other pornographic websites, other platforms, while they may be smaller, there may be even worse things going on. So definitely not denying or ignoring that. We intend to investigate other companies in the future. But with Pornhub at the forefront, and with so much money coming into this company, it caught our attention that they're really profiting off of the exploitation going on to this site. And if this big company at the forefront of the industry isn't being held accountable and beholden to these laws, then who else is going to be?
Yeah. But that's the thing. Have they actually broken any laws? Because it is a freedom of speech issue, right? Is it the US Communications Act? It's user-generated content. The site is not liable for the crimes of the users. That's my understanding. I know the Backpage lawsuit called that into question, but my understanding is that the Backpage takedown was unlawful because of American law. So I'm not an expert on what the laws are called.
Right.
I can't remember.
And I don't know exactly in Canadian law exactly which laws were violated by
Sorry,
porn.
I'm forgetting it's Canadian.
Yeah, it's over in Canada.
I'm always assuming it's American.
Yeah, and it's unclear. It seems that this is just a massive gray area that needs to be explored because profiting off of videos and intentionally ignoring, either out of neglect or intention, the fact that these videos are coming on the site, circulating without consent, being profited off of by the uploader and the company, there's got to be a solution to that because, you know, I'm hoping for a day when these videos are not tolerated whatsoever, cannot get through to the site whatsoever. And that's going to de-incentivize any abuser from wanting to abuse in the first place. I hope so, because there's not a place for them to go to profit off of this type of video.
Yeah. Like, I think revenge porn will always be an issue. I think it will always leak, whether it's on WhatsApp, which I think is the most common one, like messaging services. But yeah, when the concerning thing is how, you know, requiring 15 strikes just for a moderator to look at it seems like, at least in my opinion, that they're using illegal content for traffic, and it's disturbing. And I must admit, like, now I've seen them freely admit to it in your videos, I feel like, okay, well, I still have Pornhub channels for my business. I like, full disclosure, it's, Pornhub's not very valuable to me anymore. Mm-hmm. But I feel kind of dirty just having it. You know, what other industry would there be where someone's accused of profiting from rape, abuse, sex trafficking, and that company's still in business and people in the industry are still happy to do business with them? Like, when Harvey Weinstein was first accused, it destroyed his company because no investor, no producer, no director, no actor is going to work with him. But in porn, it's like we've all turned a blind eye to it. Every actor, every producer, every studio, every director. And we're just like, oh, you had child porn on your website? Sure, but, you know, keep selling my videos, like, have them, like, keep giving me money. And that's quite disturbing to me. Like, and I've done that as well. I can't get my head around why I haven't deleted my channel, you know? It's,
yeah, absolutely.
Have you spoken to many people in the industry in that sense, or got statements from them?
No, I mean, we've been in touch with a few people who have reached out who are performers in the industry who are not anymore, who are very supportive. But no, it's so interesting to speak with someone still involved in some capacity, and your take on it is actually really refreshing. So thank you for acknowledging.
It's just crazy. Yeah. Like, when you think about it, but you don't stop and think about it. That's the thing. You just.
Right. It's a big moneymaker. Yeah. And Mike Farley, the product manager for Pornhub, I asked him, like, why are the execs just rolling with this? Why don't they say something about this loophole? And he says, well, because it costs money, it would be counterintuitive to the business. And he also says, why would we spend money on something that is actually going to make us less money in the long run? In other words, why are we spending money and resources in content moderation and making things more compliant when, if we do that, we'll actually just make less money because, you know, all these illegal videos are being uploaded and those make us money.
I wonder how much of it comes from the attitude they had when they were founded, because, you know, they were founded on piracy, and that was the mentality. Just upload everything and don't delete it until it's ready. And so I wonder how much of it is they're assuming that most of it's just piracy and they're benefiting from it. Because I remember when Pornhub deleted 80% of their videos, my sales nearly doubled without me doing anything.
Wow.
Because I guess there was just less piracy. And all the other producers that I was talking to were like, what the hell's going on? Like, how much piracy was on Pornhub? Because, you know, my sales rocketed, like, just after that. I just wonder if it comes from benefiting from all the videos in general. And are they imagining it's just such a tiny number of problematic videos? Or are they thinking, oh, there's loads of illegal content and we're actually, you know, Pornhub, your source for illegal videos?
Unfortunately, I think whatever the real answer is, they're very eager to play plausible deniability. And I do think, to find out the answer to that question, the issue deserves a full investigation into exactly what's on the website. And, you know, of course, there's the issue of children being in videos on the platform, but even just non-consensual sexual situations or people who don't know they're being recorded. Revenge porn, as you said, is a huge issue.
Mm.
I spoke to a woman who had been date raped, and her videos were circulated on Pornhub and she claims are still on there to this day. Which is horrible. Yeah, she can't. Every time something is finally taken down after reaching out, it's just re-uploaded somewhere else.
That's frustrating, because if you're a model on Pornhub, they will fingerprint your videos for you free of charge. And if they're uploaded even onto competitor sites or onto Pornhub illegally, they will stop them from ever getting onto those sites, because everyone shares the fingerprint IDs. So the fact they're not fingerprinting illegal content, like underage porn, rape porn, anything non-consensual, and allowing it to be uploaded again, because they do it for models, so why wouldn't they do it for illegal content?
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you want child porn on your site, why wouldn't you do that and fingerprint all the stuff you're deleting?
That's a great question. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me unless they are convinced that they're significantly profiting off of videos they know to be illegal and they just want to turn a blind eye to. But, you know, Mike Farley, I can quote him. He's talking about the issue. He's talking about this loophole, the failures in the past. And he said, that wouldn't hold in court. Like, I couldn't defend this in court. And he also mentions that him and his boss sat down to a recorded meeting with the CPO and the CLO to tell them about this loophole that was happening. And the CPO told them to F off and shut up. So he made a point to record this because he knew, and, you know, he used the word retarded a lot, which I don't like to use in my personal life, but I'm quoting him. He called the loophole just, it's retarded. Like, you got to see this. And they just told him to F off.
I would love to say I'm surprised, but I've had almost an identical situation at the other big Canadian porn company, Gamma Entertainment, who are actually probably bigger than MindGeek, but they kind of go under the radar. Yeah, they own almost all of the professional productions. So almost all of the biggest money-making websites they own. They don't own any tube sites. But their employees organized and protested against one of their producers that was clearly raping and abusing girls in his videos. And they said, oh, you're just being too sensitive. And they protect him even now after I exposed their videos. So it's crazy. And what can actually be done? Because have you reached out to the companies that supply MindGeek, for example? Because if I had a website and one image of a child got onto that website, I know all my suppliers would drop me in a heartbeat. Like, whether it's Cloudflare, the hosting company, like whoever's providing all the infrastructure, IT services, I just feel like one child porn image and I'd be gone. Who are the companies that are allowing us, or did you look into that aspect?
Well, we're looking into all kinds of aspects. But you asked a good question, what would happen to the person who did upload an image of a child? And we're going to talk about that in later releases. We have more content on that coming out. But it's a great question that I think is extremely shocking. And to just generalize without giving too much detail away, we were told by someone at MindGeek that the account would not be hurt or suspended if an image of an underage image came through, and they would just let us know.
They would just
let us know if it violated their terms and they caught it, if they happened to catch it. The account would not be hurt.
The account.
But we would, yeah.
Yeah, that shocked me.
Yeah.
The reason it shocked me is because I know other tube sites who have a worse reputation than MindGeek. And I know they do report to the police. I know they do delete accounts. So I thought MindGeek would be more strict with users that upload that kind of stuff.
I would think so too. And you'll see all those details when that comes out. But we have multiple more releases that give more detail and explain all aspects of the site a little bit better.
It's blown my mind, really. You'd think that's a basic, because the other points you can understand. I know they're struggling financially because, you know, they don't have Visa and MasterCard on their main site anymore. Mm-hmm. So, and from my perspective, they seem to be relying on fraudulent views from Russian and East European models in order to get their traffic now. Almost every model I know in Eastern Europe is scamming Pornhub. We're scamming their advertisers. They pay Russian kind of like criminals to generate fake traffic on their channel.
Really?
And then they split the money 50-50 with them. If you look at like the top 100 Pornhub models, it's amazing how often Russian girls are in the top 100, even though no one is really following them. You know, a few of them are exceptions, but even successful ones will generate fake traffic as well because it's free money. Anyway, I'm talking about people are making like, you know, 5 to 10,000 a month just with fake traffic. And Pornhub don't care because it's the advertisers that pay, not the model.
Yeah.
I think they're quite desperate for money because they're allowing this to happen and they're not really clamping down on it. Whereas other sites are trying to fight it, at least. It's impossible to fight completely, but obviously for studios like mine, my former one, it crowds us out. You know, we can't compete with fake traffic, so none of our videos ever trend because you know, you're just buying them is the way to go.
Wow. And how do you think they make contact with these people generating fake traffic for them?
Oh, it's well known. Like, they're making so much money, so they tell their friends.
That's crazy.
And there's no consequences. Like, what's the consequences? They delete your account. Who cares? Like, you've already taken out so much money in a year that
You just start a new one, right?
I don't think you can, because if they ban you, like, you're gone.
But oh, okay.
They do seem reluctant to ban certain people. So
yeah,
it's bizarre.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah, so I think they're struggling financially, and I think you can put a lot of I still like this. I want to let go. Oh, maybe it's just they don't have the resources to enforce it properly. And, you know, if you look at sites like Reddit, you know, a lot of bad stuff's on Reddit too. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe even more. And, you know, I don't think Reddit's particularly profitable. I can't remember. But you kind of feel a bit of sympathy because, you know, how do you moderate so much content? But if you're not even deleting the profiles of someone that is making, uploading child porn,
and it doesn't look like... The issues are also that through years and years of victims trying to get their videos taken down, they were ignored. And Mike Farley says we were like, whatever, you know, it's not...
Is that still the case, or are they faster now?
I think they are better now, but unfortunately there's the issue of videos just being re-uploaded. And it's like, do you have enough people to be catching that? How many more people do you need to be able to catch all these takedown requests, people re-uploading? And that's the question. And then there's another issue of, is the victim of whatever's being uploaded to the site actually ever going to see that? That's also, you know... There's so much that could go wrong. I think playing the, like, just plausible deniability card in this case is just not enough. It's just too serious of an issue to be able to play that card.
And I think even Hunter Biden had a channel, didn't he? And
I believe
did he get consent for the girls in his videos? Because he was just filming videos with random prostitutes. And
not sure.
It seems like it's just a thing. I don't know why people want to start a Pornhub channel of their escort dates, but it's weird to me. So can you tell me a bit about how the actual investigative process works with these undercovers? Because I'm just fascinated by it. Like, what's it like going on a date with an enemy? Are they dates? I assumed they were dates.
So we actually make contact with employees in all different sorts of ways. So not necessarily dates. But in the case of Mike Farley and Dylan Rice, it was certainly a little bit odd. It's always a little bit awkward for me to be meeting up with these people. But to be honest, they're just, you seem like your average guys. And so it wasn't scary for me. It wasn't anything like that. And they were very obliging and just were happy to answer my questions.
That's so interesting, though. Why do you think they were so open?
I don't think they had any suspicion in their minds that I was a journalist.
We're talking about saying, if they're saying this to their friends, it means they're just openly saying to their friends, oh yeah, like my salary is paid for partly by child porn and sex trafficking tapes. Like that surprises me. So talking like that,
I really don't think that they cared is the concerning thing. They were very matter of fact. This is just how it works. This is the industry we're in. And I think they wanted to give me a sneak peek of what it was like working in the porn industry. And I was certainly very curious. So they answered my questions and I think they were pretty open with me.
Shockingly open.
Yeah. Like,
I showed it to a porn producer friend and he just said, like, it's a great story. He was just like, why the fuck did you say all that? That was his response.
Maybe they're not used to people asking and they just wanted to talk about it with someone. I don't know. I wish I knew.
It's bizarre. And like I say, I'm just thinking, like, has it just been normalized for them so much? And it does sound like, to be fair, that he's tried to take steps to fix it and then just given up.
Right.
But it's incredible how normal, good people can be complicit in really evil things.
Yeah, and I mean, Mike
doesn't seem like a bad guy. Like, no.
Yeah, Mike said the reason why I stick around is because I was like the seventh person to be hired. I've been here over 10 years. He's just comfortable there, is what it seemed to me. He's like basically grown up around these people. If he's been there over 10 years, he probably gets treated well there. He likes his boss. He seemed very close with his boss. And he views himself as just a tech guy rather than a porn guy who works on the tech side of things. And I think in his view, he works for a company that just happens to host porn.
Including child porn. And
unfortunately.
And it's like, oh, well.
I think he views it as something that's just not his fault. And it's just something that happens. It's a byproduct of working in the industry they're in. And he kind of just ignores it day to day. I don't think it's something he really thinks about, to be honest.
It's concerning. It really concerns me, especially because I feel that if it was in any other industry, it would be serious. Like Tumblr lost everything because of having underage porn on their site. Like, does it even exist anymore? Like, as a legitimate Tumblr? Business? Probably not. Yeah.
I don't think so. I haven't seen it around in so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in porn, it's like, it's just porn. It's porn. What do you expect?
I think
we have like a lower moral standard.
Yeah, I think the unfortunate view is people are like, oh, porn's such a dirty business. Anything can happen in porn and like anything goes. And it's kind of viewed as this, like, underworld. But in reality, there is a way to do things that does not break laws, and there's a way to do things that are compliant with laws.
And like most people I know in the mainstream parts of the porn industry, and they're such good people. Most of them have good morals. You'd be surprised. Like, okay, they're maybe doing like porn, which is amoral to a lot of people, but everything else in their life, they're generally pretty good. And I've met some fantastic people. I think most of the people on the performing side, if they were working in the on the office side and saw someone uploading child porn, they'd be horrified.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
So it's just amazing for me that I'm just repeating myself a lot, but I'm just genuinely surprised that so many people, because it's not, we're not talking about like one person turning a blind eye. We're talking about how many people work at MindGeek head office? It's like 400 people.
Something like that. Between 300 and 400, I believe. Yeah.
And they all have to turn a blind eye for that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's just coming from the top. I think a lot of the, you know, quality assurance people, a lot of those kind of people, maybe some of them don't even see or like have a chance to be privy to these kinds of issues. But it just seems like this is something coming from the top where they have gone through the compliance of what they feel they were required to be compliant in after the 2020 scandal. Mm-hmm. And now they're smooth sailing and they're not, you know, they realize that there's loopholes and there's things that can go wrong, but they're just not going to be further compliant until they really have to be, because ultimately it's going to cost them money.
Yeah. I think this is what made them raise standards for performers was being sued. You know, they have a lot of money, so they can pay a lot of money. But I just want to talk about the ethics of actually going undercover to get a story, because obviously I imagine you have got critics. Has anyone criticized what you do on this story so far?
I think a couple of people, maybe on Twitter. Yeah, people just aren't super comfortable or even familiar with undercover journalism.
Quite new, it seems. Or
I think that it's new in the sense of undercover journalists videoing their subjects. Yes. Because, of course, video is relatively new. And like the classic journalists like Nellie Bly and Gunter Wallraff, like they were all undercover journalists back decades and decades ago. But of course, there was no video. So I think the element of added video adds an intimacy that you just don't have if you're going in the field and then writing down everything that happened, right? And I, the intention with undercover journalism for me is never to humiliate. It is never to ruin someone's life. That is never, ever, ever the intention. The intention is to prove it, to show people this is exactly what's happening. It's irrefutable. So there's no arguments on, did they really say that? Did they really say it like that, though?
Well, the argument I've heard is that it's like a guy thing, you know, like he's a guy, you're a girl, and he's just like trying to tell you some stuff to, you know, show off in a way.
Right.
Which is a strange thing to show off about, but guys are weird.
Yeah, guys are weird. I think that maybe in different circumstances that might be valid, but I just don't think that this is something they would want to brag about in a situation. If anything, I think they'd want to brag about, oh, my company is super compliant and super ethical. We do everything above board, right? That's what I would think. I don't think that someone would want to brag about, oh, you know, there's these videos being uploaded. There's this loophole that's letting all this through and there's traffickers profiting off of it and we're not going to say anything. That doesn't make sense to me.
No, that's true. And like I say, I think people do bring that up as an ethical concern, but I think that's more on stories where there's only undercover journalism. But in this case, I think this supports all the other journalism and activism that's happened with Pornhub. And it's more like a visual confirmation that all the worst things we thought are true, and then some.
Yeah.
But I do think some people would criticize it that way. I think the other one is people would say, maybe you took it out of context or something like that. Like, what would you think about that kind of criticism?
Well, I think that they can watch the videos. We try to do as few cuts as possible. There are times when conversations trail off into personal lives, which we think is actually unethical to keep in. So
I agree.
If someone's talking about their personal sexual life or other aspect, family, we definitely don't want to keep that in for ethical reasons. But I think I would invite people to watch the videos and try to imagine a scenario where it could have been taken out of context, because we try to present things as plain as day. I try to ask questions as specific as possible. So if I'm asking about Pornhub, if I'm asking about underage child content, I say those words. I say Pornhub, I say child content, rather than it and that. And, you know, I try to make it very specific so that my subject knows this is exactly what I'm asking about.
Yeah. And it's just, and he didn't get suspicious or anything or think, why is she asking me about this?
There was a moment, and we kept it in so that people could see it, where I asked him, what if the government was to find out about this loophole, what would they do? And he says, I don't know, they're not going to do shit, they'll do nothing because they're dumb, they don't know shit, they're not qualified to identify the loophole. And then he says, why, do you work for the government or something? And then, so there are moments when they're like, why are you so curious? Just because I'm curious, you know, just like, why? I can't be curious about something. But
it happens so much fun doing what you do. I mean, it's like, it's a serious story, but I just love the undercover part so much.
It's a lot of adrenaline. It's funny you bring up the ethics of undercover journalism, because it's something that I've thought about. And I do think there are situations where the tactics don't justify what you're investigating, because there really is potential for, you know, the person to be terminated from their job, and for them to be embarrassed. But that is never my intention. And in the case of how serious sexual exploitation is in general, I thought this justified it.
Yeah. And have you heard from the people you spoke to since? Like, how have they contacted you?
Not at all. Nope.
Maybe they're not allowed to.
They might not be. Yeah, they're probably strongly discouraged from doing that. And I imagine there's just not much to say to me. I'm sure they're extremely angry. But I'm hoping that they understand I did not do this to hurt them personally. I did this to expose an internal culture and hopefully shed some light and confirm suspicions that have already been circulating for a long time.
And it might be a wake-up call for them that, you know...
I hope it is.
Just because they've... like, he tried to change it, and that's really commendable, and I think shows that he does care, right? But
yeah, and he saw those people. He shows he's like a diligent guy. He knows what's going on. People might get mad at me for saying this, because there's a lot of people coming at Mike Farley and coming at Dylan Rice in the comments and everything.
Yeah.
I don't think that the ones that should be held accountable for this are higher up the chain. Mm-hmm. While they are complicit, and while that is a bad thing, they are not the ones that created this, and they're not the ones ultimately making the decisions. Absolutely. So I didn't do this to expose them as people. I did this to expose the entire system.
Mm. No, it's a really good point. And I've also been through that myself, where sometimes I've got angry at people in the industry for not supporting the things I've been doing. But, you know, ultimately, most people are not brave enough to speak out or make a stand. And most people do, you know, they just want to pay their mortgage, you know, pay their bills. They don't want to rock the boat. They quite like that relative safety of, I know what I'm doing next week and next month and next year.
Yeah.
It's just very few people that would do what you did and go, you know, actually take some action and do something, even when you know something's wrong. So, but it seems like he did, like, the, yeah, it seems like one of them did, which is really good. And so what do you think should happen to Pornhub or MindGeek or ALO?
Right.
I feel like ALO is, they're going to bring out a song or something. I don't
know. Right. Like a little jingle.
Yeah.
What I hope to see happen is more government interest. You know, a member of Canadian Parliament already cited our story on the Parliament floor the other day. So that was very positive for us, seeing government involvement. We hope to get U.S. lawmakers involved and more people within Canadian government as well to launch a full investigation, because there needs to be transparency. And we don't know exactly what laws were violated. And so for the experts to be able to find that out and demand fuller transparency than even an undercover video could demand, if they're going to go into discovery and get that recording that Mike Farley says that he made, that would shed a lot more light on it as well. So I hope to see government action, and I hope to see the issue fixed. I mean, that's what I want. I want the issue fixed. I want the loophole closed. And I don't want victims of revenge porn to continue to have their videos circulated and be profited off of without their consent or control. Like, that's awful. And there's even hackers out there who are hacking clouds of people who have made intimate videos and posting. I want these people who are doing these things to be de-incentivized to do them. I want them to know that they have one less place to turn to make money off of their horrible behavior.
Yeah, I wonder how much of it is down to money. Just, I think maybe the money is a little bonus, but your revenge porn, even outside of Pornhub, might be even bigger, you know, like the number of men that will send, including some of my friends. Like, sometimes my friends will send me a video of a girl they had sex with, and I'm like, why are you sending me this? It's weird. Right. But I think it's so common.
It's unfortunately very common, and it's scary to think that we live in a world where we could be having the most intimate moment with someone behind closed doors and not know if they're videoing it, or even if we do choose to video it, that the entire world could see it someday, including your mother, including your grandmother, including your children.
Yeah.
And
I feel like porn is seen as a global industry or an internet industry, and as such, we've just assumed it can't be regulated, and it seems to be the industry of the least number of regulations, and so many easy ways of getting around them. You know, if your site gets blocked, it's very easy to get around it. If your hosting gets stopped, you know, you can just hire Russian servers and, you know, there you go, you're back in business. So there does, in a way, I think it might take some coordinated action, and maybe even, like, you know, UN-based or organized rules for porn, because especially for revenge porn, because that's a problem even in countries where porn is illegal. And I think the porn industry needs to be regulated, especially the companies that are in the West. Like, we can regulate them, we can regulate those industries, but then there does need to be a wider policing of the internet, I guess, which sounds quite draconian. But
yeah, well, we want to explore what that looks like. Obviously, we're not lawmakers. We're not experts. We don't know exactly how this needs to happen. But even Mike Farley, I ask him, what is the solution to these issues? And he says, well, you shouldn't have someone in a video where you can't verify their age and who they are. Period.
Yeah.
And how that's accomplished, I don't know. I'm hoping people in power care enough to find the solution.
My issue would be that should be applied for all websites. I think when you start making laws just for the porn industry, that's when you don't get the porn industry on side. Because if you remember, the porn industry had to fight for its right just to exist. People went to prison just for making legal pornography. And people forget that. And that's why the industry gets defensive and twitchy. And if you asked me a year ago, I would have been against all government regulation. I would have said, you know, we can regulate ourselves. You know, we all manage it ourselves. We're the good guys. We can just manage it. We won't do anything illegal. Let us regulate ourselves. But yeah, I've completely changed my view on that now, because every industry in the world, it's motivated by money. It's not motivated by ethics. It's only motivated by ethics when the ethics make you money. You know, if you make more money by saying you're green, then you're green. Right. If you make more money by not being green, then you don't care. So,
exactly. And I do agree with you that regulations around sexual content should be multiple platforms. All the platforms should be beholden to those, because if the same thing's going on Reddit or the same thing's going on Facebook, you know, what good does that do? I totally agree. This needs to be applied across the tech industry, and Sound Investigations is hoping to continue to investigate other platforms as well.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. You'll have to come on and tell us more about those. But is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Well, we do have multiple more videos coming out, as I mentioned, over the next several weeks. And we're continuing to gather more.
Mm-hmm.
So if everyone could stay tuned, that would be amazing. They can go to soundinvestigations.com. We are being heavily censored on Twitter and YouTube, but we are on Twitter and YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, actually, I was locked out of my account on Twitter, and then the issue was resolved.
Why was that?
The video was taken down. So we were reported for privacy violations, which we read the Twitter policies, and we didn't actually violate anything, but I think that you could probably guess who was reporting incidences to Twitter.
It's so funny because I had the same complaints. I had a lot of privacy complaints to deal with.
Yeah, I guess it's just something that's going to happen from here on out.
Well, I've had death threats, trying to make a fake documentary as a way of like trying to trick me into thinking it's not a story. What? I've had, yeah.
That's insane. Like,
it's completely insane.
How do you deal with that?
Turn that person into the story, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Anyone that's attacked me has become the story. I've had a defamation threat from a lawyer who turned out to be the escort client of someone, of the person that sent the letter.
Oh my goodness.
So it was just embarrassing, but it's just everything's been weird and crazy and surreal. So I guess you've got all that to come. I don't know.
I imagine that I do. You know, I knew I was getting into something kind of potentially scary when I began investigating this.
Mm-hmm.
But after the release, someone told me, like, you just kicked a hornet's nest. Get ready. And
yeah, expect like hit pieces, things like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, totally. And you know what? It's all like, right.
Did you see the Pornhub documentary?
Yes, Money Shot, right?
Yeah, I mean, Pornhub are powerful enough to actually get a documentary made about them. And if you looked in the credits, one of their employees was an advisor to the project.
Yeah,
I wonder why it was so biased.
Yeah, I was very disappointed that, while I did appreciate the point of view coming from the porn industry, I wish that it had featured victims and survivors as well.
Yeah. And I think most of the people in the porn industry were, you know, on MindGeek's payroll one way or another, right?
Yeah, exactly. I wish they would have had more of a balanced view, but yeah, maybe someone else needs to make that documentary.
Yeah. It's insane to me that you can just get an advertorial made on Netflix so easily for such a controversial story.
I agree.
So yeah. But yeah, I think you've got a lot of stuff to happen. And what's interesting for me is I think if you'd done this story in 2013, when I started in the porn industry, everybody would have supported you because at that time, everybody hated Pornhub. And
oh yeah,
I was like one of the few producers that was like loving Pornhub. There was no competition. I was just spamming my own videos there just to make money and get traffic, whereas everybody else was still trying to keep their videos off Pornhub because of piracy. They hadn't like adapted to the freemium model yet. But at that time, I think, yeah, like Mike South, he was in a documentary trying to expose the piracy side of Pornhub, and the whole industry hated them so much. And now we're all defending child porn and rape and sex trafficking. And I'm laughing just because it's crazy that we've turned that much. We've gone from hating them to being able to defend them when they've been benefiting from the most horrific crimes imaginable. Things that were not even part of the porn industry before. Like before tube sites, there was no underage. There was some abuse sometimes, but I don't think it was as bad as it is now.
Yeah, the industry seems to have changed a lot, and I'm still catching up on all the evolutions it's been through. But this was such a refreshing conversation from someone.
Yeah, hopefully it was helpful.
Yeah, like I really appreciate you being open to the investigations and seeing it not as an attack on the industry as a whole, but as trying to point out horrible, horrible abuses and profiting off of those abuses and hopefully getting that sorted out as much as possible.
Yeah, no one's expecting them to be perfect, but just to make the effort, I think. To do what they can. Because you can't stop everything, but...
But being in compliance and not purposefully ignoring things they know are happening, I think should be the minimum.
Yeah, it really should be. Or deleting people's accounts that do bad things.
Exactly, yeah.
That to me says the most about the mentality. All right. Well, yeah, thanks so much for coming on. And just check out your website. I'll link to the videos and everything. And
I appreciate
make sure you
it.
Come on with future investigations. Because
for
me, I'm so inspired. I wish I did something like this. I wouldn't be able to go undercover, but it's such a good idea. And I think if porn companies that are doing bad things, if they start behaving a little bit better because they don't know if you might be coming for them, I think that's a good thing. I think it's good to have some, just the threat of someone might be undercover, is a good incentive to be better as well. So I'm sure it will make a difference.
Thank you. I really appreciate that encouragement. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure it really has. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.